Time for Critter of the Week. We do it each Friday as our final act before heading into the weekend. And Nicola Tookie from Forest and Bird introduces us to a New Zealand native species. My son Felix, Nicola, was wearing his Critter of the Week t-shirt today. He said to me, "Dad, have you done all of these critters?" And I said, "All of those ones and about 350 others, son. We have got through them."
That will be a big t-shirt, won't it? Yeah. We did all of them.
The exhaustive Critter of the Week t-shirt. Yeah, that'd be good.
We could branch out into, like, Manchester and do sheep.
Oh, the Critter of the Week duvet cover. I think you've just had a great idea.
I did just have a great idea.
I don't know how the children of New Zealand will feel pulling on a duvet cover that's covered in creepy, crawly, disgusting bugs, but I don't know.
Oh, based on what I see with both kids and little critters, I reckon they'd think that was mint.
Okay, I'll get in touch with the team at Joya, see if they can do single duvet covers. Sounds good.
Hey, happy day after World Wetlands Day, and I was thinking about wetlands a lot this week and thinking about you and everyone in Auckland. And
yeah, thank you.
Gosh, you guys have taken a hammering, haven't you?
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a week of it, and it's become kind of customary now when you see someone you haven't seen for a while, you say, "Hi, how are you? How were you in the floods?" Which is a really new thing for us up here. It was a big week and continues to be big, and each day there's new stories of people who've lost things. So thank you for your concern. I guess it reminds you a little bit of your part of the world a few years ago.
Yeah, very much so. It felt what I saw going on reminded me a lot of enduring thousands and thousands and thousands of earthquakes and just how fatiguing, how exhausting that is, you know, just the relentless nature of it all. And I've seen a few people now being interviewed saying, you know, this is like the third time this has happened in 5 years.
Mm.
Sort of. Well, the other thing I saw, though, that gave me gave me the feels is the same thing that I saw with the Christchurch earthquakes, which is people reaching out to each other to make sure they're okay.
Yeah.
And helping each other and supporting each other and making them some sammies, and, you know, and it's lovely. It's lovely to realise that, you know, when there is a crisis, you know, humans remember how to be human again. And look,
yeah, we naturally tend towards community, even if we sometimes have to be prodded a bit to remind us of our communal instincts.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, thank you again for your team for preparing a wonderful critter for this week. I mean, it's a sinister critter. It's once again something out of a horror film, but it's also quite likeable. It's very clever.
Very clever, obviously, mostly because the cleverness comes from the female side of the spectrum. So this week we're talking about the Ngaro Wiwi, or the black hunting wasp, or if you are a nerd such as me, the scientific nomenclature is Priocnemus monarchus.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sort of looking at the word wiwi, which is obviously a Māori word, and it's to mean somewhere distant, scattered places, walk about. And you might hear people say in kōrero, ki wiwi ki wawa, which essentially means off to roaming off to distant places with a sense of freedom that entails.
Oh, I like that.
Which I like too, and certainly is another female hunter. That's how I feel when I'm out and about. So it's not all about me today. So back to the the Ngaro Wiwi, or the black hunting wasp. So Ngaro, we've talked about Ngaro lots of times. So Ngaro means fly, and it's often combined with other words to describe it. So in this instance, it's a fly that roams with a sense of freedom while hunting. So they are really lovely, and as you say, this is a little bit of a macabre story because they are a type of wasp. They're a pompilid wasp, and they're essentially spider hunting wasps. And there are 5,000 species of spider hunting wasps in the world, and we have 11 here in Aotearoa, 10 of which are endemic to New Zealand, and their job is to go out and hunt spiders, which is really interesting. So last week, was talking about being at a mate's batch and helping them move some rocks and coming across tunnel web spiders,
yeah,
which are enormous. And the Ngarawiwi hunts tunnel web spiders, which I think is quite incredible.
Despite being somewhat smaller than the spider?
A lot smaller. So males are only 19 millimetres long. Females a little bit bigger, but you know, 2 points. That's what are we? 20. Stay within the same thing, Nicola. 26 millimetres. 2.6 centimetres. So we're talking about something the size of a pumpkin seed, essentially. And they look like what does Scarlet play? The Black Widow.
Oh yeah.
You know,
yeah.
In the
Marvel movies. Yeah.
Yeah. They kind of look like that outfit that she wears. They're very, you know,
sleek.
They have this sort of very sleek, glossy, slender black body. They look like they're dressed up to be an assassin. And they have little covered in little black hairs. And then they have antennae that sort of curl at the end. But if you look at the photo of it, and I highly recommend, as always, that you do, New Zealand, the body has a sort of real iridescent, sort of metallic look to it and beautiful kind of like almost peacocky type iridescent wings, which are also beautiful. So what they look like, if you are a wasp the length of a pumpkin seed attacking a tunnel web spider, which could easily fill the palm of my hand, this has been described by one of our spider experts as a small helicopter trying to take a bulldozer away.
I've come across this too. I was out west. There's a sort of a scientific reserve out west in Auckland, and was walking through the dunes and came across, I think it was a golden hunting wasp, this one actually, but same sort of thing, dragging this unwilling spider, but largely winning.
Yeah, and they do win, right? And they have to, because the purpose of the grabbing the spider is to take it back to their nest and provide food for their yet-to-be-hatched, or in fact, they haven't even laid an egg at this point. They actually lay the egg on top of the spider carcass and then smash it into a little room and lock it in. But they can carry, like some hunting spiders elsewhere in the world, can carry drag their victim back to the nest over distances of over 100 metres. That's a really long way when you're the size of a pumpkin.
100 metres?
Yeah.
Sheesh. Talk about a wee-wee.
Yeah. I mean, I have carried a heavy carcass 500 metres, but I'm a lot bigger than a pumpkin seed, and I found that really hard going. So,
I mean, you're bigger than a pumpkin seed. I don't know. A lot bigger might be overstating it.
Oh, thanks, Jesse. That's good. You're helping me with my midlife crisis. So, again, not all about me today, Nicola. Back to the Ngarawiwi. So what happens is, the male's kind of not doing a lot, so males don't really do much other than slurp nectar and wait for females to mate. They're kind of busy doing all the hunting. But the adults, females are sort of feeding on fruit and nectar and, you know, helping with the whole pollination thing. And so what she does is she digs out a nest using the tip of her abdomen as both the trowel and the hammer. And she's also got sort of hairs on the front of her legs to help sort of shovel things, move the soil around. And then they look around for a suitable spider, and then they kind of get in there and entice it out. And what these spiders do is rear up. Right, and that we know that because Peter Jackson borrowed their body design for Sheila on Lord of the Rings, and so that's the perfect response for this particular wasp, because she stings the spider in the abdomen, and which results in almost immediate paralysis, and that's the end of spider. Right, so then she stings it a couple more times, drags it back to the nest, however far away that is, and then lays an egg on top of it, and then buries it in there. In order for her offspring to hatch and have a ready-made meal.
And a good opportunity for our listeners just to take a moment and reflect and be grateful that they weren't born a chonky spider.
That's right. Or perhaps the larvae of a hunting wasp, because, you know, I have enough trouble getting a 9-year-old boy to eat them and, you know, what's on his plate in front of him. I'm not sure that trying to convince a new larvae to eat a spider would be as easy. So, and she does this repeatedly. So she has a tunnel, and there might be several little rooms or cells that she's put a spider and laid an egg on, put a spider and laid an egg on. And yeah, they, you know, she's ambitious because she's going for the big, chonky megalomorph spiders, right? In fact, on that note, there is a type of spider hunting wasp which takes on tarantulas. Like, it's a lot bigger. It's 8 centimetres long, but it takes on, like, the bird-hunting spiders overseas.
Well, yeah, I think the tunnel web spiders are related to tarantulas, aren't they?
Yes, they are, yeah. So this is obviously something that has gone on in the natural world for some time, and it is quite amazing, right? So they have all kinds of tactics for it. One species of hunting wasp fences its burrow with dead ants. Because the chemicals in the ants deter predators, right? So, you know, another layer of protection is like having your little security fence around your burrow full of babies.
Yeah, and once again, do the ants get any say in this?
Oh, you know, the ants are there to provide their service to the ecosystem. Actually, birds, that's something we could talk about one day, because birds do a thing called anting, where they will, blackbirds, I think, do it, but some of our native species have been recorded doing it too, where they pick up ants and sort of rub them all over their feathers to almost like a
cologne,
you know, like a, well, more of a deterrent or a repellent.
Oh, like dimp.
Or other things.
Yeah.
So they are an incredible species. It's a, you know, we would find this life history perhaps not to our liking, but another great example of the complexity of nature and the way that species eke out an existence over time by focusing on a particular niche, and I thought this niche was pretty cool. These wasps are obviously bad news for a chonky old tunnel web spider. They're not usually interested in humans, but we do know that they have stung humans, and it is very painful, but very briefly.
Yeah.
And
you'd have to be doing pretty well to get stung by a black hunting wasp.
Yeah, I imagine if you've annoyed a black hunting wasp to the point that they've taken their focus off a spider and are now looking to sting you, then it might be
your
bit
fault.
Of karma.
Yeah. Could I ask you to rate the attractiveness of Ngaro Wiwi, the black hunting wasp, on a scale of 1 to 10?
Absolutely. I think, given my references to, Scarlett Johansson, isn't it, in the Marvel movies, and the Black Widow, and just their fantastic lifestyle, staunch, tough hunting woman. Is a wasp a woman? Let's say female. I'm going to give it a 6. I think they're beautiful.
Great. People can check them out on our website, rnz.co.nz/Jessie. Have a great long weekend. Regards to Hunter and the nectar-slurping husbands, and I'll catch up with you next Friday.